Hello, 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 and welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris. We are here to talk about not only Drag Race All-Stars episode 6, but also Canada's Drag Race at the end. So if you're here for both, I will put a timestamp for Canada's Drag Race in the show notes. Otherwise, we're just going to do the two back to back and talk about essentially this week in RuPaul's Drag Race. With me, I have a wonderful panel. First woman I'd love to introduce is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you doing?
I am feeling amazing. This was a good episode. I love a good ball challenge, and I'm so excited to get into it.
We also have here Mr. Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you doing?
I am loverly excited to talk about this episode that did not end in the way that I thought that it would.
Yeah, very interesting elimination, and I can't wait to break down whether or not we thought it was the right choice, the wrong choice, the most dramatic choice. But we have a special guest here with us. It's not just the three of us. We have someone who I'm really excited to introduce, who'll be talking about a Drag Race with us. That is Mr. Christian Robinson. Christian, welcome to the Drag Race pod.
Thanks for having me. Super excited to talk about this episode.
So, Christian, give us a little bit of background on who you are, why are you here, and what's your background with Drag Race?
Yeah, so a little bit of background about me is that I'm trained to be a therapist, but I'm currently in school just studying how to train and supervise future therapists. And I'm excited to talk about All Stars 5 because I really got into Drag Race when I started dating my boyfriend. He was watching season 9 as it was on television live, and so I just kind of hopped on in the middle of the season. Fell in love with Shea Coulee and was like, I guess we're doing this. I just want to see more of Shea. And so since then, clearly I moved forward and I went all the way back as far as I could in terms of watching all the season and just fell in love with it. Just love drag, watched Dragula, just did the whole thing. And so I'm very in deep to drag right now, especially in quarantine.
Yeah, I think especially in quarantine is a really good addendum. There's so many things in this because of quarantine. No, right. But we're really excited to have you. And if you are listening to the audio podcast, don't change your tunes. Just keep on listening. But if you are wanting to watch the video version of the podcast, check out the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page where you can see our wonderful, lovely faces. Mm-hmm. And you can also look at the runways that we'll be pulling up and maybe some other random stills here and there that I thought were funny throughout the episode. It's really just up to my random brain's discretion of what I'm
already
know.
Assuming it's just a whole bunch of like stills of Juju.
Yeah. Ms. Shea Coulee come walking in with that big old butterfly Juju with the, what were they? The hoses like the wrapped hoses around her neck.
I felt so faked out by that butterfly. I was excited to see how it was going to get used.
I know. Yeah. Her outfit, apart from, well, the chaps, we'll talk about those. But yes, no butterfly. Needed more butterfly in my life. All right. Let's just generally talk about this episode and what our thoughts were. Because, you know, we are down to the final five now, Aman. And I think we got a little bit more strategy. But also, I mean, we're what? Now at the official final four, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, we're episode 6. I think typically All-Star seasons have 10 episodes. So something's a little weird because I would assume that, you know, there's either going to be some sort of buyback or a double Shantae. I don't know. But this is, it's really getting down to the wire and I can't believe that I am getting two people that I'm rooting for in the top four. Like, this is like a fever dream for me. I'm sort of at the point now where it's like, I don't even care I do care who wins, but like the likelihood of somebody that I want to win is like 50-50 now. So I'm just like, yes, bitch, I'm just sitting back and sitting pretty. You know what I mean? I am able to consume Drag Race without any malice in my heart. And I'm fine with it.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually a good point, Aman, is that, the math isn't adding up. Like, Christian, mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to get a buyback or do you think like this is what just going to be if 7-episode, 8-episode season?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me they haven't even teased any sort of battle back or buyback. So I'm thinking that it might just be straightforward. It might just go down because I normally at 4 is when they do the they do the top four All-Stars verse. And they already said in the preview for next episode that that's not what's happening. And so I'm like, I don't think they're going to ditch that challenge right at the end. So we at least have another week for that. But yeah, I'm very confused. I don't think that we're going to see the returning, like the set home queens come back, which is a shame because I really wanted to see Derek Barry again. Just neither on my television.
Yeah, Beth, so do you think this is going to be a top three situation? Top two?
I think it's going to be top two. If they don't do a buyback, I think it'll be top two, in which case the math works out a little bit better. But I think given how we're navigating this the season, we're seeing that everybody who's not in the top is in the bottom. Maybe it makes sense that we're going back to a final two where we started from. And I just think it would be more interesting if you were going to throw all these twists at the queens, if the top two people left are the people, I don't know. Like, I think it would just be a top two. That's my feeling. It's my gut. Although I really hope they also kind of fake us out and they say, hey, actually, yes, we're doing a buyback next week. And we didn't do any kind of advertising for it because we wanted to just keep you bitches in the dark. I would love that.
They did advertise in All-Stars 4 when the queens came back, right? To do... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I honestly have no idea, because if we really try to think about it, you have next week will be our final four. So we then have three queens voting but amongst themselves, with one queen then doing the lip sync. And then we go to the next week. What is two queens voting? They just vote for themselves. I don't even know how that would work. Does then it automatically go to the lip sync queen? Like, they'd get rid of the assassin. There's no assassin. I have so many questions. I wish they would just tell me the answer.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions here. And I also feel like I was just trying to think back quickly. So like season four of All Stars, they definitely teased out that they were going to come back and lip sync against the current queens. Mm-hmm. In season three, they definitely had like the two girl groups, and they definitely teased that out with the whole Handmaid's Tale thing that was going on throughout the entirety of the season. All-Stars 2, they ended an episode with the face crack of the century of the mirror. So we've definitely seen that they've teased this out before, which is why I just don't think that there will be a buyback. I feel like All-Stars relies on that.
Well, and I feel like, maybe I'm like too purist in this view of like the competition, but I think bringing somebody back this late into the game, I'm like, I'd want to have seen them perform in Snatch Game. I'd want to have seen them in, you know, like whatever song they do. I'd want to see them in this like roast challenge that's coming up. And so to not have that and then just throw them in at the end just seems a little weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
That's a good point though too, Christian. We've also already seen like the first real challenge besides the talent show. The second episode was the write your own verse and be choreographed kind of challenge. Mm-hmm. What is the top four going to do this time? Are they going to do another challenge like that? Or is there something different that's going to come down the pike for the top three, top two, whatever queens are going to be in that competition?
The reunion episode is, it's part of the count, right? The episode count, right?
Well, do they have a reunion? They didn't do one for four.
And they didn't do one for three. They've only done one for two.
I don't think so. Because I think
this is strange.
Yeah, this is very strange. Which it's like, I wish I could just, it's so funny because, okay, we're actually supposed to talk about episode six here, and all I can do is speculate on what's happening in the future. Like, just tell me, okay? And then I can talk about the actual episode.
Even
if they did a final two, would that still be 10 episodes? Because. Wait, can I do my math right? Because it'll be episode seven is next, and you'll go down to three. Episode eight, you'll go down to two. So,
but no. So episode seven has four queens. Episode eight would have three queens. Episode nine would have two queens. And if you had a reunion, it would be 10. So I don't know if they do a reunion or not. I don't know.
Look, in the age of Miss Rona, no, there are no rules. Okay. It's just a mess. Everything is a mess. All right.
I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and let's actually talk a little bit about this episode, because, you know, I thought that India was gone, but the drama remains with the notes, with some of the social strategy. Like, finally, we get a non-improv challenge. Amon, what did you think about this episode in general?
I loved it. I felt like the editing was pretty, they had me, because I didn't know what was going on. I was thinking, you know, I feel like the most predictable outcome probably won't happen. And I felt like they did a good job of really making each case for either queen. In terms of the challenge, I thought that it was, I like the challenge because it really, yeah, it's a bit of improv and a bit of like acting, but mm-hmm. it's like all planned. You know what I mean? Like gave them all equal opportunity to come up with some material, and it didn't even have to be long. It literally, like, everybody comes out on stage for what, a good 20 seconds and then you're done. So I felt like this was pretty level playing field. I felt like with the amount of time they got, the only thing that like would send you home is either it's just not good material or the dress that you made is not good material. So it's, yeah, I thought that this was, I liked this challenge a lot. And I liked the fact that RuPaul brought his family on TV because it just humanizes RuPaul a bit more for me in the age of everybody hating against RuPaul.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So Beth, when you were watching this episode, I mean, you said you were very happy to see a ball back. You know, we didn't see our normal three looks. We had sort of the one look plus comedy, then actual creation look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was interesting. Even though it was a ball, we still saw acting. We still saw comedy in it. And I think that that's, mm-hmm. I guess, the theme for this All-Star season. But it was really, really refreshing, I think, to only have two looks because it made a lot, put a lot more pressure on the look that you constructed, as mm-hmm. well as what you presented on the runway with your comedy script and how you acted on the runway. It wasn't so much about the look on the runway. You got some in those first looks, you got some looks to it, but it really wasn't like mm. drag looks. It was really, how are you acting? So I actually mm-hmm. thought it was kind of fine that it was with two, because you really got a good wide range of what the queens had to bring to the runway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christian, how do you feel about the balance of these looks?
I wanted a little bit more. So I was like thinking, I was like, what could have a third look been? And so I decided the way that I would have done the ball is I wanted the cousin look, the auntie look and with a character with it, and then their eleganza that they had to have made. Because I think just like showing one, if we're going on this big, you know, is this All Stars or is this RuPaul's acting race, you know, they could have had another mm-hmm. chance to act and be a different character. And I think that would have been fun to see what they could have done there. And then also, I mean, I agree with you, Beth, I'm big on the looks. And so I put a lot of the weight in the challenge on that last look that they made. Yeah. But I wanted a little bit more acting since they had stated that that's what they were going to be doing.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed because I wanted looks. I don't care. I just don't care about the acting. Like, you've already tested them on that. So fine, you give Cracker another opportunity where her prepared remarks are actually like fit yeah. and make sense. Like, that's great. Good for you. But I was like, this is supposed to be a ball. Where are my looks? You know, mm-hmm. RuPaul's Drag Race used to say, we're going to have 33 looks. Oh my gosh, 33 looks on the runway. And like, now you can barely turn out 10. Like, come on. And even the first look was just, oh, but it's more about the character, which I get. Like, I'm not critiquing the queen's performance here because I think they mm-hmm. were fulfilling the requirements of the challenge and what was asked of them. I'm just speaking from a viewer who wanted more looks and it felt a little empty from that regard. Now, that being said, I hear the points that you guys are saying about, oh, well, it puts more emphasis on kind of that last look. They have more time to really think about it. You really have to evaluate the creation itself versus looks that they had to prepare, right? Because mm-hmm. one of the things is when you do three looks, well, two of them are ones that they can bring from home, whereas the yep. third one, only technically 33%, right, then would be what they actually created. So mm-hmm. so I do. I hear that. I get that. I think for me, it was just this promise of, oh, finally, not improv. And then it's like, oh, yeah, except for you have to do all these jokes and this improv is part of a character. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I think I was just a little disappointed, Amon.
And they definitely would have had the time to do more looks. You know what I mean? There's only five of them left.
Right.
You know, normally they try and do these balls where like the damn near the whole cast is still in the competition. And it's like, right. Do we need 33 looks? I just feel like, I forget what you wore the first time you walked up by the time the thing is over. So they definitely had the time. Mm-hmm. to do it. I think that this is like one of those themes where you're going to get like some growing pains, because I don't think we've ever really seen a backyard cookout type deal thing before. So I feel like they mm-hmm. probably, it did seem like a little bit half-baked because it was a newer concept and they were trying to figure out like
half-grilled maybe.
Yeah.
Half-grilled. A little raw.
And,
were,
Yeah, I think it just ended up, it didn't feel like a ball, and it felt like a mini challenge and a design challenge put together. And when I think of ball, I just think elegant, fun. I take my eyes off the TV, and I was just kind of bored with it by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another part that I've been thinking about with this too is, are they trying to get more out of the ball scene with the ball, which is not just about what you're wearing, it's how you sell it. So when they give you a script with it, which you normally wouldn't get in the ball scene, I don't believe, people can call that out if I'm wrong, you are really, it's about how you're acting, it's about how you are presenting. So I couldn't tell. Normally you have like three different looks and it's just how you act it out on the stage. So were they just trying to do a twist on that on top? All I was getting was season 9 when they did the construction challenge of like the underwater, or like the princess challenge, not the underwater. Everybody did underwater princesses for that challenge. Mm-hmm. But when they did the princess challenge, they had a script with it. So it was a construction and that. And this time they just said, but we'll make it a ball. And instead of the script being with what they constructed, it'll be with a come from away. I don't know. I do understand. I wish there was a third look. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy with the emphasis that they put on the constructed look. I'm also kind of happy with, because the first look wasn't, for the most part, a good look for most of the queens, that it was mostly about the script.
I did feel like they were sort of like grasping at straws, because we do get like a little bit of critique with, as far as Alexis is concerned. I think she was like one of the only queens that we saw get critique about her first look. And we were like, oh, well, like, I thought it was going to, I was under the impression that you guys were more concerned about the constructed one, but it seemed like if there was a negative thing to say about the queen, it would go for the first one when all of them were like,
yeah,
like Blair saying Claire, I mean, she didn't look bad, but like, that wasn't, was that really a look? Like, she just, you know, it looked like she just, you know, went to Target and got some boots and got some jeans and that was it. You know what I mean? So like,
got a mullet wig.
No, what it reminded me of was like when hot girls for Halloween, when you want to look trashy, that's what you look like. So you still look fabulous, but you're like, oh, but I'm like country, I'm trashy.
And see, that's exactly where her script could have saved her, but it didn't. And that's, you know, she just wasn't trashy enough. If she's going to go for that look, there's really two ways you could go. Like, you could go for the really liberal side of you. You could go for the really conservative side of you and make it really funny with that kind of look. Are you like the really like MAGA biker queen, in which case like you can have your script poke fun at that? Or are you like the really liberal person at the family's like the black sheep of the family? Like, she just didn't give enough in the script, and like, that's exactly where the script comes into play with these looks.
All right. Yeah. Well, we can complain about Blair St. Clair a little bit later when we get to her.
Yes, because, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes, us, I'm sure, much like Bob, have things to complain about when it comes to Miss Blair St. Clair. But let's just set up this episode. So first of all, Alexis says this is a very diverse top five, which I completely agree with. I think in multiple ways it's really diverse, which is super cool. I just think it's neat to see all these different types of drag from Alexis, who's like very much a pageant girl, to, you know, what Shay has been able to do, Cracker, Miss Comedy Queen, and whatever Juju is doing, which I don't even care. I love it all the same. But we get set up that this week's Maxi Challenge is going to be the backyard ball, because as RuPaul says, happiness is in your own backyard, which I wrote right next to the fracking because I couldn't help myself. But we're going to get two looks this week. We're going to get the Country Cousin Realness, which we alluded to, which also had the script component, and the high fashion looks from your own backyard, the backyard ball eleganza look, which they had to create from all of these supplies that you would find in your own backyard / the Dollar Tree. But before we talk about the runway looks, there's actually a few things I want to touch on. One is India Farah leaving the notes, Christian. This was, I was like, she's so smart. This is a way for India to exist on the show once she's gone.
She's going for an Emmy on a production credit. Like, she kept going. And I just thought it was so funny. And the comedy of Juju looking around her station for a note and just being like, India didn't leave me a note. I'm not going to be consumed by it. And then being consumed by it. It was just so funny. And then just the note that she left Alexis, I still to this day I'm like, I don't know who to believe. But India's not doing herself any favors by leaving this note for Alexis. It was just wild. And I was so happy she left those notes. And I was even happier that she didn't leave one for everybody.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that could have made that whole situation better is if she had just pulled a Thorgy and started like complaining about Shangela randomly in one of them, and just to see like how people would have reacted. No, I think that she's super smart to do that in terms of providing entertainment to getting really inside specifically Shay in Alexis's heads. She think was trying to get in Alexis's head by being like, we're still friends. And Alexis is like, I don't want to hear it. And she's like, wait, she didn't call me a liar or anything? Wait a minute. And I'm like, wait, wouldn't you be okay with that? But no, it does make sense. You would be paranoid. Why are you not calling me out for being a liar in your specific note to me, but yet you're willing to write a paragraph on the mirror and lipstick? Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. See, this is why I was thinking that this was going, like, they were setting up the return of the eliminated queens. I felt like all of these like ramifications that we were seeing for India was like, okay, well, obviously she's going to get brought back. They're just not going to continue to talk about her, and then we're not going to see her. So I was surprised by the end of the episode when there wasn't really any of that going on. But this also made me feel like, you know what? Maybe Alexis wasn't lying. Because if you really felt like she lied and sent your ass home, why would you say I still love you in that letter? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, right. It really seems like she was like, you know what? Looking back on that conversation, no, she never technically asked me to write down Shay's name. She just told me that she was going to do that. And she was asking me what I was going to do. And now like a bit of that guilt is coming through because she's like, I still love you, Alexis. Like, I understand like why you're upset, but like, you did say something about Shay. Maybe you didn't say write her down, but like, you said Shay's name. So that's what it felt like to me.
To open your heart is the shady part.
That's the part that I was obsessed with. Like, a PS, I still love you. Okay, fine. But the fact that you're going to write open your heart, that's like her when she walked out from the main stage when she was leaving and she does her three H's or whatever, four H's that they were. The honesty, like, open your heart. Like, it's, oh, bless you. Oh, bless your heart. Like, it's so freaking passive aggressive. I love it / hate it all at the same time.
Yeah, that's why I read the I still love you is like, don't worry, I still love you even though you're lying. I lived for that.
Either that, like, that's what's so funny is like, you can read the I still love you in so many ways, but the open your heart is like, is she saying I still love you and need to open your heart and love me back? Or is she saying I still love you, open your heart to being honest with other people and letting yourself be wrong? Like, there's so many cryptic things. I'm like, India, you smart ass human, keeping yourself in the narrative.
Oh, amazing.
She's better. Alexis is better than me, because honestly, if I would have read that, I would have just ripped it up. Oh, like, same.
I would have put it in my eleganza. I would have been like, look it.
Exactly.
I thought about that too. I think I would have lit it on fire if I had the opportunity. Just been like, like, take so that good. On TV. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, speaking of narrative, we also get RuPaul's walkthrough. I have to go to Aman first on this one because we've talked about this. We've talked about RuPaul trying to get that Emmy, coming for them tears, only hugging when she's on camera. So what did you think about these walkthroughs?
So clearly someone on production is listening to the fans. They are aware of the fact that we see through the bullshit. Because what I liked about this particular walkthrough is that it focused more on whatever it was that Shay and Jujubee were trying to say. Mm-hmm. We did get a few shots of RuPaul looking misty-eyed, you know, glasses fogging up from the tears. So we got to see a bit of his reaction, but for the most part, it was Shay getting to tell a piece of her life story as it pertains to Drag Race on the show, and the same thing with Jujubee. So I feel like they are definitely trying to temper it back and show us these moments. And I do believe that RuPaul like, I believe that he cares for some of these queens, emphasis on some of the queens. I believe that he really, I believe that he was affected by what he was hearing, especially as it pertains to Jujubee, because they talked about, you know, having to go to meetings and dealing with, you know, alcoholism and drug abuse and all that stuff. So he's battled similar demons. So I totally I can see that he's not bullshitting, but mm-hmm. the way that it's edited and the way that it's like not, this one wasn't as heavy handed. I was like, okay, you guys are listening. I'm able to like accept this more, because the last thing I want to do is sit here while one of these queens is talking about this traumatic life experience. And I'm like, okay, girl, like, you want the Emmy? Okay, you're gonna win it. I don't want to like diminish anybody struggling, but at the same time, it's like you can only take so much of it before you're like, girl, like, enough. Well,
it's always what drives me crazy is when RuPaul decides I'm going to play therapist and solve all your issues on camera. So it's like someone's like, oh, well, you know, my parent committed suicide and you need to take that inner saboteur that manifested itself through this horrible thing that happened to you and pull it out in your drag and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, or they could just process it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
Without yes. you, who does not have a therapy background, like that's, I completely agree, Iman. Like,
the
I've
total
always
shift.
Been, it was a total
it's
shift.
So abrupt. I kept thinking about like Jeff Probst whenever he's like having to like de-escalate a situation on Tribal Council, and then he's like, "All right, now we vote." You know what I mean? So it's right. like that's what I kept thinking about, and I'm like, "Yeah, you're mm-hmm. definitely you're trying to like you can honor." Honor that struggle by putting it into your drag. They've already been doing that. That's why they're here in the first place.
Well, Christian, can you speak on this? How is RuPaul as a therapist? You're someone, you're getting your PhD, right? Like, yes. walk us through this.
Absolutely hate RuPaul as a therapist. And like, it just seems like one of those people who has like read a self-help book or two and it's like, I got this, you know? And so like my problem with like these arcs that we see is like Rue comes down, she talks to one of the girls, she gets them going and going and going and like really worked up, and then it just stops. And it's like, in therapy, you would never bring someone to a place if you didn't have the time or space to help take them out of it. And so mm-hmm. one thing that I really wanted to hate it, but I appreciated that Shay tweeted it. Shay was like, just so you know, it looked really abrupt the way that that conversation ended, but like Rue and the crew were really helpful in the back end of that conversation. And I was like, okay, but like, that's what I want to see, you know, like I want to see that part, because it seemed like they worked Shay up and she got really upset. And then Rue was like, okay, see you on the main stage, you know? And it just seemed very cold, even though it was still like laced with empathy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
that makes me feel so much better. I didn't see that tweet.
Who are watching the video version? I did pull up a very grainy screenshot of the tweet, which is Shea Coulee responding by saying, "For the record, RuPaul did come for me after I shared my story in a very real and meaningful way. There's so much that happens that we can't show everything, but just know that Rue and the crew were very present in making sure I was okay." Heart emoji with the little sparkly sparkles. So yeah, I mean, like. This one felt more genuine, even though on the whole, like, yes, mm-hmm. we complain about RuPaul. I think and I think maybe also because we had Jujubee talking about her struggles before, that it didn't feel so out of place. Like, I think mm-hmm. Shea Coulee was much more abrupt. Although, had we heard about her losing her father previously? Beth, you're nodding your head. Yes.
About it, yeah.
She talked about it and. Season 9, but I can't remember if it was Untucked or towards the finale. Like, it might have been finale night when she got mm-hmm. interviewed after she lost, that she talked about it. Because it was, I remember there being a juxtaposition of her losing her father and Sasha having mm-hmm. her father in the audience. So I remember mm-hmm. something there. I don't remember hearing about her older sister passing away on the show. I remember seeing it like in tweets and all that kind of stuff. But I could be wrong about that. Christian or Iman, do you?
Yeah,
no, I think you're right. I don't think she talked about her sister, but I that makes me feel so much better seeing those words from her, because I mean, yeah, we hear these stories. I mean, Evie Oddly, the latest one, she's not the latest one anymore. Hey, Jada Essence, I forgot about you. Anyway, Evie Oddly, I mean, she kind of called out Rue again, saying, you know, more of the same, and that she doesn't really seem to be a presence until there's a reason to be mm-hmm. with the cameras. So I'm glad that if this is something that happened, I really hope that it is RuPaul responding to all of the critiques that he's getting and trying to be more of that mother figure, because I just feel like that would just elevate the energy of the show. Like, I understand that RuPaul is one guy, right? Like, he cannot carry the burden of 100-something queens on his back and trying to be everybody's best friend. Like, that's just not humanly possible. I understand that. But at the same time, you don't have to create this atmosphere on the show where queens feel like they can only be emotional during certain times, because that's kind of what happens when this abrupt feeling that we're seeing on the screen is like, yeah, it's like, is it all coming out now because this is the designated time to cry, as instead of like it happening organically? So I really hope that he is trying to foster like a more caring environment. I'm not saying you have to be everybody's best friend. I'm just saying, like, you know, be the mother figure that you are. Like, these are all your kids, essentially. Like, you have changed the lives of so many queens, and I feel like you should really be proud of that and be more instrumental in some of these queens. Is like Michelle Visage goes on tour with all these ladies. I'm not saying that RuPaul has to do that, but like, show up to shows, like, you know, support these queens. Like, they are of you. You know what I mean? Like, you're the reason that they're famous. So take pride in that. So
it's always interesting.
This is the push for that.
Yeah, it's always interesting to listen to What's the Tea, which is their podcast, Michelle and RuPaul's, and hear RuPaul say something and Michelle be like, actually, I've been on tour with these queens, and this is something that's really serious within the drag community or within the LGBTQ community. And what you end up finding is Michelle's oftentimes educating RuPaul on what are some of the issues, because as much as RuPaul is privileged in the socioeconomic sense, or maybe of being a presence, he still has a lot of marginalized and intersectionality, like identities happening, right? So, but he's still kind of out of touch with some of it. So it's important. I think that it's important sometimes for me to go back and listen to What's the Tea. I don't listen to every episode, but the episodes I do listen to, the perspective he gets is, I think he truly believes in the words that he's saying to the queens when he's trying to provide those therapy sessions. But to your point, Amon, when you were pushing out, hey, this is the time I want you to be emotional now, you're ruining that opportunity for those vulnerable moments you keep saying you want on the stage, in the confessional room. Like, you're ruining that for that to come out in a more natural way and be dealt with in a way that can be processed better by the queens that are on the show.
And like, what I fear is, like, I hope it's going in the direction that Amon was talking about, but the trend that I'm seeing is like, the queens seem to be pretty like pro RuPaul while their season is airing and in the off season. And then as soon as the next season comes, they have something to say about the way
when their contract's up.
When that NDA expires.
And so I'm like very, I'm hopeful because it seemed like it was produced and put together better into a package for us to consume, but I'm hesitant. I'm like, let's check on this in 6 months or whenever we get.
I'm like, I really hope that those words from Shay were like legit. Like, don't just say it because you feel like, you know, because you could just stay silent. You know what I mean? You don't have to. Like, if it didn't happen that way, you could just...
Yeah.
I mean, she may be wanting that crown. Like, they record multiple endings on purpose. Okay,
I know.
I also have to say, Shay is not a queen that will just say something to appease people. She could have just stayed silent and let people have the impression that they wanted to. But I will say, just to tie it back to this particular episode, I do feel like these were better, to Amon's point, because the focus was on the queens. It wasn't on RuPaul taking the queen's pain or story and making it about him providing and being the like savior.
I'm your mama now. Come here.
Yeah. Well, and that was also so creepy.
It was so bad.
Seemed like you could see how Rue has different relationships with the different girls. Like, when she was talking to Shay, it seemed very like mother daughter. But when she was talking to Juju, it seemed very like level platform, peer to peer. And so I thought that was nice, just contextualizing that, like, Rue has a different range of relationships with the queens. That was a good touch.
I also think it was really important. The one time RuPaul kind of made it about himself, it was in a point of connection of his own vulnerability. So he was like, Jujubee, I have also gone through very similar struggles, and those communities can uplift you. And those tears I think were legitimate, because I think that those are the kind of things. There are so many times when RuPaul cries on this show that I'm like, the Emmy is not deserved for that performance right there, because we can see right through that. I'm like, I am so proud of all of you queens. And I'm like, okay, you're not even crying.
Are you proud?
But in that moment where you can see a genuine connection being formed, that is a conversation that likely would happen between friends, between peers, to your point, Christian. So yeah, absolutely.
Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back.
Let's switch gears, not to do an abrupt tonal shift like RuPaul herself, but let's move away from therapy session and move on to our runways. So first of all, I have to share this because this is my new background. This episode gave me one of my favorite stills, I think, of all time. So this is, if you're watching the video version, you can see this. For the audio version, it is Jujubee sitting on the ground, cutting out watermelon, and Cracker in her undergarments, just standing, staring at a piece of plaid, with Converse on, just contemplating life and contemplating her her runway outfit. But anyway, that is so neither beautiful. Here nor there.
That's our top guest, part right there.
I know, right? I was like, I need to print this out. Can I get a Shutterfly version of this? I need the canvas print, baby. Our guest judge was Bebe Rexha, who I love because after the whole Big Brother thing where she came to perform in the Big Brother house, you know, everybody's making the jokes about Bebe Rexha. And then I actually listened to all her music and I was like, no, I am actually a huge Bebe Rexha fan. But Christian, how do you think Bebe did as a guest judge on this episode?
I enjoyed her. I think she was very nice and she provided, she was very uplifting when some queens were feeling down, but I loved her outfit and I didn't think that any of her commentary was off. So she was a good time.
Mm-hmm. I felt like she was I felt like she was like a little disconnected from the judges. Like there was so much ha-haing and kiki-ing going on this time, which, you know, we debated RuPaul's sense of humor, but it seemed like she was just like looking to the side, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like I really want for these guest judges to sort of like, and they probably do get prepped, but like I wonder as they like, do they tell them like, look, we encourage you to make corny ass jokes and to like really like ham it up and be fun, because some of these guest judges just come on to the show and they're so reserved and I'm like, oh, RuPaul's sense of humor is already crazy, but now it's making it look even worse because he was literally like slapping fucking Michelle across the face laughing at one of her jokes and Bebe's sitting there like, energy was just so weird.
Yeah, do you guys think that somebody writes the like quippy one-line response? 100%, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, they have writer. Yeah,
because it's so funny. There are sometimes where people, if it comes across like off the cuff, and you're like, "Oh, that was witty," but most times it's like, "Hi, RuPaul, corny one-liner here."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
I think it's definitely a mixture. I feel like there's definitely times where they'll get a good one in there that they come up with on the spot. But I think a lot of them are definitely written.
Mm-hmm. I love all the generic ones. The like, you look fabulous today.
Hi, Ru.
Right? Okay, yeah. Good. And then he laughs. And I'm like, what is so fucking funny?
Always laughing. And it's just like the... Nothing is ever funny, but RuPaul is always laughing.
Yes, it's like, one way to live your life.
I'm starting to lose my mind. Like, I'm starting to find the things that he finds funny now because he's laughing and then I want to laugh. And I'm like, what is happening to me?
It's like the real life version of a laugh track. Like, that's right. RuPaul. Yeah. Just put RuPaul in a room. You'll be having a grand old time. Okay. The first round of looks that we are going to talk about is the country cousin realness. So, you know, we're going to be looking at the looks, but we can also, of course, talk about the script that they came up with and all of the canned jokes. But the first queen that we're going to discuss is Ms. Cracker, who I don't. Did these have names? I didn't write down the names if they had names.
But I don't remember.
OK, she's the cousin that's like munching on the food and looks like a reject from the Dixie Chicks or just the Chicks now. So that's Ms. Cracker, Amon.
Yeah, this was great. I know that like I've gotten a little bit of critique about my critique from Ms. Cracker showing a little bit of favoritism, as it were. But she honestly did a good job here. I think that this was the challenge for Ms. Cracker because of the fact that it is pre-prepared and you can sort of, yeah, you can take all of that cerebral energy and focus it into one like quick little monologue here. And I think hers was the funniest. Hers sort of like was very well put together. You got the character. It was acted out pretty well. I mean, I particularly love the family may know me by, she got a lot of nerve showing up over here after all these, like, yeah. So I love that. I thought that it was, I thought that it worked. It was concise. It was succinct. It was funny. It was good. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. It was just right. This is the Miss Cracker that I love. You know?
Yeah. Christian, was this the Goldilocks of this challenge? Not too much, not too little, just right?
Yeah, I liked it because when she came out and within the first couple of seconds, you just knew exactly what this character was about. The way she's like chewing with her mouth open, the strap of the dress is hanging off of her shoulder. Like, you're like, she's a mess. I get it. I get where this is going. She probably has 20 cats, and then she mentions that. So, like, it's just, I thought it was really good and on the nose.
Yeah, Beth, what did you feel about this?
Yeah, I think in terms of script and her acting, perfect. I think that there, what I struggled with all of the looks for these particular beginning portion, the first looks, were just like, are these drag looks or are they not supposed to be drag looks? Because this does not look like a drag look. This just looks like I bought this at a store in the mall and put on these boots and that kind of thing. In which case that perfectly captures the cousin she's trying to talk about. But that's where my criticism for her and for a few other queens came in with, are these supposed to be drag looks or are we just kind of giving that a pass because we know the look they constructed is a drag look? So that's where I'm kind of sitting here with my criticism. This cracker came out and I went, meh. But then I listened and saw how she was acting with the script and how everything, there was not a beat missed with how she reacted to what she was saying or how she was acting out. And it just was, I audibly laughed out loud. I thought that hers was great. And I really, really enjoyed her character.
Once I got what the challenge was, I thought this was the best one.
100%.
It just took me a bit to realize what was actually being asked of them because to your point, Beth, like, yeah, I agree with that. Like I own this dress. It's from Forever 21. I bought it for $30. Like, you know what I mean? But that's the thing is that this was ended up being more of sort of this comedy challenge to echo what Aman and Christian were saying is that like the humor was there, the character was there and it was really well defined. So I thought that this was enjoyable for what was being required of her for a ball, you know, not what I would have expected, but also this entire challenge is not what I would have expected for a ball. Yeah. So, you know, you got what you got.
I had to watch all of them first in order to go, okay, Miss Cracker was definitely
best. Right. And she's the first one out, right? So it's sort of hard to compare because then everything starts being judged to that. But the other queen who I thought did pretty well in this challenge was Ms. Jujubee with the biggest, most oversized hat like I've ever seen in my entire life, Christian. What did you think about Jujubee?
I would almost say that I wish Jujubee won this challenge. Like if it was just this part, if it was just the acting, I think Jujubee had it. The lines that she did were so fun. And when right there where she turns and she says, Amber, like I rolled laughing because of that. And she just had some good one-liners.
Question about that, because I didn't necessarily was the comedy in the inflection of that line? Or is there like an inside joke that I was missing for the Amber? Because I didn't get it. Everybody laughed at that, and I was like, I don't get it.
To me, it was just the inflection. There might be some deeper thing to it, but
I think it was an inflection. But I also thought it was commentary on how many people, when they come to America from a whole bunch of Eastern Asian countries, have an American English name. So she was
mine.
So I think that, but the way that she inflected it too was like so funny. Like,
I'm an idiot.
That's why I laughed at least. I hope that was the reference. Otherwise, I
yeah.
I was like, is it like a callback to like another, like one of our other seasons? Like, is it like another Amber? Like, I don't know. I was thinking too much clearly, but
cerebral.
Exactly. This hat is a hat. Okay. This hat has a hat. Like it's, It's a hatch. I don't know what else to say.
Jovan, yes, very good. No, Mike Bloom would describe this as a notable hat for sure. Like, this goes out several feet on either side. And that's the thing is, like, the rest of the outfit is, like, fine, great. It fits her character. I just can't stop staring at the big ass hat.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing I could stop staring at. And at first it bothered me. And then I realized it must have been part of the character is that one of the straps in her shoes is not done. So, like, one on her left shoe, I think, on the top ankle strap, it's not done. Mm-hmm. And it was flopping around while she walked. And at first I was like, oh, GOGB. And then I realized, oh, no, I think that was part of the character. I loved her characterization. I loved her script. I thought it was really funny. I definitely feel like this is exactly what that one cousin would wear at a picnic, right? Who has, like, that top that is, like, too much for a family affair would be great for the club. And then, like, the, like, Daisy Duke shorts pulled out with the pockets out. Like, you have that cousin. Everybody has that cousin who would wear something like this. The hat was great, too. What I thought was interesting about the hat, which if this was for any other look where they needed to do a drag look, you know, Michelle would have been clocking. It makes your face have too many shadows because we can see your contour is, like, too much of a contour. Like, I was, like, already getting Michelle's criticism lined up. And thankfully, she didn't say them. And the only thing I really was bothered by was that they gave away her, like, MSG joke earlier in the episode. I wish they hadn't, like, teased that out ahead of time because it would have been funnier. I was like, oh, okay, this is why she said that earlier. Like, it felt out of place earlier in the episode. But I don't know, but I love GOGB. I thought that was a really great opening look and script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about Beth, and you're like, oh, everybody has that cousin. I am that cousin. I have a big old floppy hat. Like, I have those shorts. I have that top.
You gotta own it.
I was like, bitch, I'm gonna look fly at this picnic. All right, like, I don't care. They're my family.
And it's just great because, like, all of the ants are wearing muumuus and such, and you're like, hey, what's up?
Like, yeah, you're walking through the grass, you're, like, trying to play, like, you know, pickleball or something with your family, cornhole or whatever, and you can't walk in your heels. Yeah, I've been there. All right. The next queen to walk the runway is Miss Blair St. Clair, who I described earlier, and Beth really went in on. So, Beth, I'm going to give you first jab at this. Talk about Miss Blair St. Clair.
I think that what I said earlier is really what my criticism was, both of the challenge and of Blair. This was a situation where her look, like, you know exactly who this is. Great look, but cheap, which is part of the character. But I feel like her script didn't reflect the character well enough. It didn't go far enough. It didn't give her opportunities to act like Ms. Crackers or Jujubes. So I really left wanting more. Like, I wanted her to really be trashy in the script and to really own it. And we know she can act. We know that she could do that kind of stuff. So why didn't she bring it? That's where I was really disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christian.
I honestly don't even remember what she said in her thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't either. And it just seems like it's similar to me with her choice of Ellen. Like, she picked the character, she showed up, and I was like, yes, I know exactly what we're getting, and this can be so funny. And then just the characterization of it was non-existent. Like, I can picture this cousin, you know, Southern conservative. We could be talking about motorcycles. We could be talking about roadkill. We could be doing a lot of, like, crazy, absurd things with it. And I literally can't remember a word that she said.
Did she talk about being a biker chick? I mean, I was going to ask Amon, but Amon's like, I have no idea what she said.
Was she the one that insinuated that RuPaul was also her baby daddy?
No.
Is that the...
I don't think so. I think that was whoever's next.
Shay?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
See, this is the point. Yes, like, make it memorable. Go farther with it. And I remember her look. I remember how she kept just doing the same thing with a cigarette. And, like, that was it. And I was like, but this look tells so much more of a story than what you're able to do in act. And I wonder if one of the issues with Blair this season and Blair in general is that I know that she, for the past couple years, has really wanted to do an overhaul of her look. And I think that going into season 10, we had a queen that was more theatrical than a look queen. And then she said, I'm not comfortable being overly dragged up. I really want to be super feminine and soft. And she really did a rework. And I want to be sexy and I want to be these different things. She comes into All Stars with this different aesthetic. And I'm not saying that she lost her acting. I'm just saying that I think that she spends way more time in how she's going to look. And we saw it with Snatch Game. We saw it here. Than she does with how am I going to act to go with this? And I think that that's unfortunately a loss because she really does have all, she has the full package. I just don't think that she's putting it all together in a synergistic way.
Wait, did Blair have acting skills at one point?
Yeah, she's a theater person.
Oh, okay. Because I don't remember. She was with the fairy godmother.
So shady. I loved it.
I mean, like,
tell me about it. But she's.
But like when though? So if you could give me an example, yeah, that would be great. I just don't like, I like, yes, I remember her being the Broadway ingenue as part of her description. But then she had the fairy godmother in the Conflama, whatever that musical was for Rue Inc. or Ruco or Ruco Labs.
Pharmaceutical.
Yeah, the pharmacy. Yeah, I remember that was like an acting thing she did. What other acting thing did she do? I don't remember.
So they had a construction challenge.
Okay.
This more than many second review.
Yeah.
We are really struggling to understand Blair right now, and I'm kind of like feeling the same way that I felt at the beginning of like when the cast got announced and I saw her name, and I was like, "Oh. Okay." And then she's had a few moments throughout the season where, I mean, we liked her look last season. In the last episode, mm-hmm, and she's had some strong moments here and there, but it's starting to like decline, yeah, and I feel like this is like the begin. She's not going to win, and this is essentially the beginning of her, you know, way out.
Mm-hmm. And so, it was hard to watch because she was so confident, right? Like she was like, "This is my challenge. Like I'm going to be good." And then as soon as she walked out, I was like, "She's not going to be good."
No, honey.
Yeah.
Well, a queen that we know will most of the time do something good, that is Miss Shea Coulee with I loved the Grandria reference, Amon. That was just, like, it was so good to see that callback. I thought she was so funny here.
I love it when Drag Race is able to get meta like this and celebrate the history of the show. And I loved the bag of chips that she had too. She didn't know I didn't have her. Like I just, she was pandering, but in all the best kinds of ways. She pandered to us with the Grandria thing. She pandered to Rue with the chips. She is just, she's coming for the crown. And you said that this was the one where she was the one that kind of insinuated that
I thought so.
Rue was her baby daddy. So yeah, I liked this. I liked the look. I like that it was like very custom, it's not run of the mill. It's very memorable and yeah, it works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think one thing that I like, Beth, is the fact that she does at the end of, I'm hesitant to call it a dress, the oversized t-shirt. She has almost like a little bit of a teaser of what you're going to see with her main runway look with that sort of blue napkin picnic fabric going on there.
No, I 100% agree. I think that that is something that was really smart on her. And I don't think any other queen did any kind of teaser of what their constructed look was going to look like. I think that she did a wonderful job here. I was confused at first by the boots. Like, I was like, did the boots really go? And then I was like, you know what? First of all, this is when I was still trying to figure out if we were doing drag or not. Like, what's happening? But then I thought, thinking about it, I was like, actually, this is like really cool. The fact that instead of just wearing like jeggings or something, like your boots are your jeans to go with this oversized tee. And I was like, actually, I friggin' love that. But I just love that she put all these kind of mismatched things together. She has the gloves on her hand. She has the big oversized sparkly spike necklace. She has these jean boots. She has all these things that in like any other challenge, people would be clocking her by saying like, what are you doing? Like, but this made absolute sense with the character. She acts the shit out of it. The chips were great. I just loved it. And I love that wig. I love that wig on her. It was great.
Yeah. Christian, do you have any thoughts about this look from Shay?
I think just the only additional thing I'd say is, like, this just proves to me that Shay is just a student of the game. Like, she knew to make that reference. She teased the look. She had the chip. She was playing her cards exactly right. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, is this the best thing I've ever seen? No, but was that the assignment? Absolutely not. And so I'm still in love with it. And then the acting was good as well.
Yeah,
she's definitely one of those country cousins that thinks that they are all that, you know what I mean? Like, they think
and a bag
their fashion
of chips.
Is like, and a bag of fucking chips. And it's clearly not, but no one's going to say shit to her, because the last time somebody said anything bad about this particular cousin's fashion, they had a whole meltdown. Okay. So they're just like, just smile and wave.
Your mouth shut. All right, Christian, the last queen that we see with a country cousin realness look is Alexis. The only queen I think who really got critiqued on her look here. Did you think that was warranted, or what did you think about her performance?
I thought it was very warranted. I didn't get the story here. I didn't particularly like the look. And then when she did the wig reveal, in my mind, she was like, oh my God, she's about to do a wig reveal. And then it came all the way off and I was like, I didn't need or want that wig reveal. Please put the pink wig back on.
Michelle.
Michelle's face.
Michelle's face was all of us. I was just very, I didn't get it. And I thought I would come to get it by the time she left the stage. And I was still just like, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Beth, like this, I was disappointed here. I mean, I didn't think... Was it that much worse than Blair's, for example? You know, maybe the look was. The performance, I don't necessarily think was. But I was just a little disappointed with Alexis, maybe because I feel like she can do so much more.
So I'm not as hard on Alexis here. And here's the reason why. I love that she has a dress that doesn't fit her properly, that she's consistently like trying to readjust and such, because I've been at family weddings where I've seen aunts and cousins and such who are popping out of things and trying not to be the quote unquote trashy aunt, try not that stuff.
Now that is just inappropriate.
That happens where people are like, oh my gosh, I'm popping out. I don't mean to. So I actually really liked that. I got that character immediately. I agree about the wig, but then I also went like, but aren't these supposed to be trashy people? So aren't we supposed to not like the wigs and such? Like, that makes even more sense. You lose the wig and it looks worse. That's good for this part of the challenge. I thought it was also unique and interesting that this is where I kind of was like, wait, what's the assignment again? Are they supposed to be the cousin, or were they just using cousin as like an idea? But she was like, I'm the housekeeper. I thought that was really funny. Like using like a play on a cultural thing. Like that's really funny. So I wasn't as hard on her here. I definitely thought that she acted better than Blair, but I also don't think that her script was that strong. I felt like she had a couple like, oh, yeah, kind of moments. But that was about it. She wasn't the strongest, but I also don't think that she warranted as many critiques as she got.
So we recently had a conversation, you and me, Liana, about where it was a kind of like we about how some of these acting challenges can be shitty for people that speak like English is not their first language, right?
Yep.
And how sometimes the culture and what specific cultures find funny just doesn't translate that well. And while I feel like I feel like objectively speaking, the script just lacked jokes. The only thing that was sort of funny, which I was kind of hesitant to laugh at, was the housekeeper thing, because I was like, I don't really know if I mean, this is a Puerto Rican person making a joke about a stereotype. So she is perfectly allowed to do that. But I was just like, I just kind of found it like a little frustrating that was the only thing that I could kind of like latch onto as finding humorous. And the rest of it was just like, I don't know. I mean, she talked about how she was bringing coquito, which I'm like, if you don't, some people might not even know what that is, which is unfortunate. I know what coquito is because I love drinking that shit every holiday season. Yes, bring that shit to my barbecue, please. But I don't know. I just felt like maybe some things were just not, it just didn't flesh out well, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that English isn't her first language. I don't know, because I still think that objectively speaking, it just there were no jokes. Where are the jokes? So,
the jokes
it did give me pause.
Yeah, the jokes could have been her explaining to the non-Latinx people there, like, this is what we do, like, in my family. And I'm like, obviously, like, the person who wasn't really invited to this one, but I'm still going to, like, explain everything to you, because that's also somebody that's annoying at your barbecue. You know, I agree. I think that I think that we've seen this a lot. There have been a lot of really interesting pieces that have come out over the past few years about specifically Puerto Rican and Latinx queens on the show who have a hard time in a lot of the improv challenges or the acting challenges, the snatch games, all those different kinds of things, because their cultural references are inherently different, even on a pop culture scale. And we've seen some queens really excel. We've seen Alexis really excel with Walter Mercado, for example, just last week. But there are still inherently some things that the vast majority of the production staff of RuPaul's Drag Race, including RuPaul himself, are not going to get. And that doesn't mean it's not funny, especially as we see a lot of Latinx communities like becoming more vocal and present and represented in America. Like, these are things that maybe greater America should be enlightened on. So it's unfortunate that we sit back and we say, like, it's these queens' job to educate us about it. But that is kind of sometimes the assignment that we see with, like, Snatch Game. Educate us on this person we don't know through your acting, through how you're explaining jokes and such like that. But it is a very warranted discussion to talk about.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was better than Blair's. You know, for what it's worth. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that's being someone where English is your second language or third language, I think, for some of these queens, like, of course, you know, I think that that's going to put them at a disadvantage. And when part of the discussion was like, oh, do you lean on that? Which is, I think, Alexis is, you know, utilizing sort of her culture and being willing to poke fun and make jokes at those stereotypes. So it's kind of interesting to see how it's utilized and then how it's ultimately received. I mean, I think from my perspective, though, I do think Alexis was probably funnier than Blair's. I just felt Blair was boring.
Yeah,
which was. As we all know, the greatest sin in reality TV. Just don't be boring.
Don't be boring. Don't be forgettable.
Well, something that was, I mean, I thought pretty gorgeous and unforgettable was Ms. Cracker and her badminton look, Beth. What did you think about Ms. Cracker on the runway?
She came out and I said, yes. Yes, please. My only critique is the same critique I give her every single week, which is, girl, can you please fix the color of your tights, of your stockings, whatever it is. It draws my eye in a bad way every single week. But I love this look. I love how it was constructed. And it, like, the use of the shuttlecocks, like, both on her shoes, around her necklace, the wiffle, my gosh, I played wiffle ball, I played softball, and I can't say it, but the earrings, the fascinator, I don't think another queen put together a fascinator that looks just like that. You know, Alyssa Edwards would wear that fascinator for sure. But this was a beautiful, beautiful ensemble from head to toe, worked together really well.
Yeah, Christian, what did you think? Did you whiff for the wiffle ball look, or were you all about this?
I was all about it. I think if I, you know, had to put some critiques on it, I got very, I like looked at her mug and I was like, something is off. I don't understand. And eventually I realized she doesn't have eyebrows. And I was like, that's just a choice that I don't know if I personally wish there was some eyebrows. And then the other thing is that just when she turns, the part of the fabric that's covering her chest is just like coming up off of her body a little bit. And it just looked a little loose. So I just wish it was tighter. But other than that, I mean, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I thought this was really good. I that's a good critique, the one because it doesn't fit because it's loose. And I don't know exactly what that's made out of. There could have been some restriction with that material, but I agree. Aman, I think I would have preferred this to be a little bit tighter.
Yeah, I was going to make that very point, is that, like, it was a little loose. I would have loved if she made the skirt kind of resemble more of a shuttlecock as well. You know what I mean?
That would have been cool.
really pulled everything together. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm learning to be less critical of these made looks, because, Amon, can you do that? No, you can't. Shut up.
Yeah, well, speaking of something I can absolutely not make, Christian, what did you think about Jujubee's watermelon runway look?
Yes, so she turned the corner, and I think my first reaction was like, I feel like we see her in the silhouette all the time, But then as soon as I started looking at it and the different details of it, I really liked it. I didn't notice the comment that they made about the seams until they actually made the comment. But I really liked the color palette. I love the wig. Of course, her mug looks good. So I was a fan of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth, did this resonate with you?
Yeah, I was expecting a train wreck, and this was not a train wreck, just because of the way that they were like, yeah, Jujubee, you know, can't sew and all these different kinds of things. And we didn't really see her do much besides like cutting out watermelon. And she just had that fabric laid out that she hadn't done anything yet. And when she came out in this, I was like, this fits her like a glove. It makes her look taller than she is. It gives her incredible form. I love the pink ruffle at the top and at the bottom, that how it matches, and it's at a perfect length. Sometimes that length of dress is really hard to pull off, because if you go slightly too high to the knee, it really cuts you off. If you go slightly too low to the ankle without it being, it just, you feel like, what the heck did you do here? She made it a really, really great length. So everything I thought was incredibly polished. Altogether, a very safe look. This was not by any means, it didn't blow me out of the water, but I expected way worse from Jujubee. So happy she turned my expectations around.
Yeah, I'm on. Look, okay, I'm going to critique this as not being high fashion. Of course, you can turn to me and say, Liana, what do you know about high fashion? You're the hoe at the family picnic. Yes, that is true. But this does not necessarily give me super high fashion looks. I think it's cute. I think it's adorable. I would love to put it on a doll. And she looks fantastic in it. But to me, it's not high fashion, but she still looks good. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, if it's supposed to be backyard eleganza, right? Mm-hmm. This is not really an eleganz-ic. Is that a word? Eleganz? Eleganz-latic? I don't know. It's not very elegant.
Less Leganza.
Yeah, less Leganza, yes. I mean, it's cute. It's a cute concept. I feel like this is, it looks like a dress that would be on like some strawberry shortcake doll or whatever. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, yeah, I mean, Juju has kind of been doing this all season for me. Like, it's every runway is sort of like, it's okay, you know, it's passable. And I don't really know what that's about. I don't know if I don't get it. I don't know. I just, in a look like, where you can make your own, I would have expected something a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's why I fear, like, I really want an all-star winner where I can like think back to their competition, you know, it's like to their challenges and to their runways and be like, yes, that's it. And like, Jujubee clearly is performing in challenges. She's great at acting and she's quick and she's funny, but I'm yet to be wowed by any look that she has turned this season.
Yeah, I do worry about that for Juju, because she is sort of the queen that's the, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of situation. And I do wonder if like there's something real to that. That's not a fluke. Like, there's a reason, because there's something that just doesn't push her to that next level. Like, can she outcompete Shea Coulee to win this thing? Like, I don't know, because, you know, we all assume Miss Blair St. Clair will be gone next, and we will have a top three of Shea, Juju, and Cracker, but we'll have to see. Speaking of the queen who I think is going to be gone next, no tea, no shade, Miss Blair St. Clair. Ooh, she got me all gagging, even though this outfit, Amon, was maybe not the most gag-worthy.
You know, it's like Tiffany Pollard said in during Flavor of Love 2, I believe, you know, there's an artist, right? And they say that his work looks really, really good from afar. But then you start getting up a little bit closer and it's like, woo! And that's kind of how I felt about this dress. This dress, at first, when she turned the corner, I was like, oh, okay. And then as more time I had with it, I was like, not okay. Mm-hmm. It's just like sort of, like, I see what she was going for. I get the vision. The execution for me is just bad. It looks a little bit too ragdoll deconstructed for me without enough construction.
What it was,
I didn't even think that the hair was going to bother me. It was falling apart. Yeah, she had to like hold it up. And I didn't even think the hair was going to bother me until somebody said something about it. Because like they were like, if you're going to do slick back, then make it slick back. And I was like, oh, I thought it was. And then you could see the close up and it's like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like half, like the whole thing is sort of like half baked. Yeah. The only good part of it for me was her makeup. that's about it.
Yeah. Christian, go ahead.
I was going to say, what I struggled with the most is when I looked at this, it just didn't read as, you know, a grill, like a big cookout in the backyard. Like, not any pieces of it. And I get that she used, like, the tablecloth and we have the seat liner on it. But it, all of the other queens, I was able to, like, explicitly see where there was a cookout in their outfit. And I couldn't see that with her. So I just, from the moment she walked out, I was like, this isn't it. Her mug looks great. but the outfit wasn't it for me.
Yeah, I got a lot of pool party eleganza, as if this was like some kind of sarong that maybe you would wear over a bathing suit. I don't hate it. I don't like it for this challenge. And I got thinking about it a lot, and I was like, I feel like there's queens that have done similar looks like this, but have just done it better, like an Aquaria, a Naomi. Like, there are people who pull this off a little bit better, and I appreciate her trying to do something that there is a high fashion silhouette to this. There is a high fashion rouging. I mean, those things are there, but I just don't know if it's the colors. If it's the fact that it's still kind of falling apart. Like, I like the seat hem thing, but that looks more pool sporty to me than it does high fashion. I don't know. I
think she's also just so thin. I feel like if she weren't, which is, you know, no fault of her own. I mean, you can't really control, you know, your body. But, like, I just feel like that sort of, like, exacerbates the messiness for me. Like, if she weren't so thin, it wouldn't look so, it's like swallowing her up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that that's probably a part of it. I don't know. Like, whereas I thought Jujubee's look really fit her well, I agree. It's not eleganza. It's not high fashion. I see this as high fashion, quote unquote, but it doesn't fit her well. So I was like, in that sense, I'd prefer Jujubee's look than to something like this. But I do think that I give her marks for doing something that is not a traditional silhouette that you would probably see someone do on the runway. Like,
it takes
an actual
talent. Yeah. Like I said, we can see what she's going for. It's just not there.
I also didn't like the neck thing. Like, it was not necessary.
Yeah, I think just, like, turn the oven back on, pop it in for a couple more minutes. Like, let's just continue baking it. I will say, though, I disagree, Amon. I actually kind of love her hair. I think from the neck up, she looks gorgeous. And maybe that's just because her mug is so fab. And the way that she presents it, I think, is also very elegant. It's just like, the look itself just needs... And again, I'm the hoe from the picnic, so not that I can say anything, but it just needs, like, a little bit more something, I think, to really zhuzh it up.
You know what it is, too? It's her runway walk. If Naomi Smalls was doing that exact dress, she would walk and work it. And you could tell Blair was worried about tripping on the long part of the skirt, so she kept holding it out slightly to the side, and she didn't have enough confidence and swagger for it. Like, I think that's probably what I have in my head. Like, that's probably why I keep thinking of these queens that we just know are high fashion, good construction queens being able to pull off something like this.
Which is why I feel just like her being on All Stars in general is just, like, too soon, because she made that big character switch and then didn't really have time to let it play out and practice in shows and in gigs and whatnot. And she just showed up and is like, I'm a woman now, you know? And it's hard to form that in such, like, the pressure cooker that is Drag Race.
The next queen, Miss Shea Coulee, to walk the runway, won her design challenge back in her original season. Christian, do you think that this should have won, or was worthy of a win?
Let me say first, I'm the biggest Shea Coulee fan. I love her to death, and I hope that she wins this season. This was not it for me.
Same here.
It just looked very undone. The strap hanging off, and then you could see, like, the little pieces of string coming off of all of the straps. I didn't really like the gray and blue color combo. It seemed like they needed to be a little bit more contrasted to me. And then it did all just seem a little bit busy. I like the construction, like, a lot of the ideas behind the construction, but overall, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I loved when she walked out at first. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I saw the whole outfit, Beth, and I was like, oh no.
So here's my problem with it. And I think it's just because this is what you're going to get with gingham, specifically gingham material. I say this is a non-seamstress or anything. So I just see this as somebody who looks at stuff. If you don't make the hems like clean, they come off as scraggly. And I don't even know if that's a word. That's a word I'm using. It looked like she just like cut off strips and didn't do anything to make them like look nice and just went, and then we're going to put one here, one here, one here, one around the neck. And so this whole thing looked like it didn't fit with all the straps. I understand what she was probably trying to go for, but they either needed to be tighter or cleaner on the edges in order for them to make any kind of sense of the look. I felt like the chaps were too big. Like there was too much of a gap. The edges again there didn't seem hemmed properly. And again, I think that's just because of the material she's working with. She might have needed to use another material underneath of it, just from like the fabric wall or something, just to give that sense of clean edges. I didn't get clean edges from her. I just cut out the shape and I put it on and that's it, which is not eleganza to me. I do think this is a really interesting constructed look. I do appreciate what she was going for. I love the idea of like a backyard, you know, with chaps and like a mosquito net and that kind of thing. I love the concept. I don't like the execution, unfortunately, because I do love me some Shea Coulee.
Aman, do you have any thoughts you want to give on this outfit?
Yeah, y'all kind of fit it all.
Yeah.
The chaps are too big. I like the blue against her skin, though. I think that that's really gorgeous, that contrast.
It's so good.
But, yeah, I didn't... I felt like the only thing that I totally got that was backyard was, like, the plaid chaps. You know, it was obviously supposed to be, like, a picnic tabletop thingy. I didn't know that that was mosquito net until someone said that it was. There were certainly like elements of it that had to be explained to me. And a part of that is because we're not there in person, so we can't really see the details as much as they can. Right. But yeah, this wasn't that great for me either. And I was like, I feel like the only reason that she wasn't in the bottom was because all the other queens praised the hell out of her. And I feel like that did sort of like affect the judging there, because almost every queen was like, yeah, and Shea helped me. So she pretty much sold it. I mean, she sold everybody else's outfit. So they were like, if Cracker was able to win for hers and Shea helped her do it, then Shea should win too. So.
Yeah. It didn't help Asia. Didn't Asia like get all the praise for helping all the other girls? And she's had that ball look. It was still in the bottom.
I thought that's what we were going for. I was like, oh, damn, we want to get this edit where she helps everybody else and then she ends up looking a mess. But thankfully, that didn't happen.
I mean, she didn't end up in the bottom, technically. Like, technically, they were all in the bottom except for Miss Cracker.
Yeah. You're right.
The queen who ends up going home, and we'll talk about this decision, but it was Alexis, and she has this red solo cup look, Beth, that I thought it was really gorgeous. I get all of the critiques. I just thought it was so creative to use the pool as the spacer or whatever for the bottom of the dress.
I completely agree. I thought this was the second best look on the runway. Interesting to me that they were both red looks that for me were the strongest. I love all of the, I can't think of the word, but all of the solo cups and napkins and paper plates and such that she used both around her collar, on her shoulders, and as well as on the side of the bottom of her dress. I don't like the shape that the pool gives, but again, how freaking cool is that? Like, that is different. I mean, there's a lot of things about high fashion. The reason why it's considered high fashion is because you're not going to wear it all the time, is that it looks different. It's not something you expect, right? So I feel like sometimes we're a little too harsh on how we feel about certain things. And I loved how the pool made the train work specifically. Not so much all the skirt, but there's a little bit of a train in the back and it made the train like really, really interesting. I thought this was a really cool look and it was a very pageanty look. It was really well constructed, put together, fits her like a glove. Love the pageant hair on top, the sculpted pageant hair, and a little bit of a fascinator of the same stuff that she makes for the rest of her dress. I thought it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christian, what were you thinking about this look?
Yeah, I think it was really, as you've already said, it was cleanly put together, but I was bored in the same way that I was bored with Juju. I feel like it's a similar silhouette that we see. It's the hair, it's the mug, it's the red that we just saw her in last week. So I was just a little bored with it, even though I thought it was clean. And then when she lifted it up to show us the pool, I got very confused because the pool print is very chaotic. And I thought I was like looking at trash, like there was like a pool and it like so had trash in it. And so I just thought the pool didn't pay off in the way that she thought it would. And I think it took away a lot for me when she pulled up the bottom of the dress and revealed it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I felt the exact same. I was like, wait, is that a trap? Like, what is that? I didn't know what it was at first. And yeah, when she lifts up the dress, like the like metallic gray color that she's like frilling in her face, I'm like, that doesn't look good. Like, I understand like what she was going for. And I think that she was certainly probably the most ingenious of the bunch, mm-hmm. Considering like what she did with the pool. But it really seemed like she was like trying to get brownie points rather than trying to make it actually look good. It was like, oh, let me attach this pool at the bottom and let you like, this is drag. I'm giving it to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was like, well, yeah, but what did like, if the dress were blue, then maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe I'd be like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, this is coming together. But it was such a deep contrast that I was like, this is cool, but like it's at what cost,
you know? I also wonder what material was her dress made out of. Was that just material from the wall?
I think it was just fabric. Yeah.
See, and that to me is also kind of a miss then, because I feel like the majority of your outfit should be made of the materials rather than that, just accents.
That metallic, that had to have been something. Like, there's no way that looks like plastic of some sort.
Yeah, it looks so like tarp.
Yeah, exactly. It's like tarpish. Gotcha. So, like, my assumption is it came from that. And I will say, like, I just love the fact that she was able to make all of the embellishments, like at the top and at the bottom of the dress, just look so real. And it's made out of. That was made out of trash. Like, that was the one.
Sure was.
So I think I probably responded the best out of all of y'all to this. I really liked it. I thought it was creative. I thought it was cool. I get the points that y'all are making that it is kind of a little ugly, but it was probably the second best look, I think. I would agree with Beth there.
Yeah, it's definitely like, it's a good look. Like, I think I agree with like the detailing of the red solo cups and the paper plates and all that thing. That was like very, very, very good. But yeah, I wish that the pool was just executed differently.
Okay.
I wish that she used hula hoops instead, because like that is also something. I mean, I don't know what was available. There probably wasn't, but we also saw that there was like hose available. I'm sure you could have put it something circular, made the dress, like if you had to lift it up, there's something to make that bottom part of the hoop part.
Yeah, that may have been too heavy. I don't know. Hose is like really heavy. Or maybe I'm just weak. I don't know. One of the two. I want to jump ahead. I want to talk about this lip sync, because then we can talk about the final decision that ultimately was made with sending Alexis home. So Roxy, Miss Roxy. So Cracker wins. Cracker is then going to lip sync against Miss Roxy Andrews, who has a couple of reveals which were lackluster. And to be honest, I was really bored throughout this whole lip sync, Christian. Like, I just, I've seen better.
Yeah, I feel like this was a waste. Like, this was a waste of Roxy Andrews' talent. Like, if we got a fast and upbeat song, I feel like we'd have gotten something more fun. But I do agree with you on the reveals being a little bit lackluster, especially the transition from the second into the third, because you could already see the thick and juicy. And so when she took it off, it wasn't really much of a reveal. I mean, I still loved it, you know, and I want a little thick and juicy. She said you're going to start selling merch with it. I'm like, sign me up. But I was left being a little bored throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman, how did you think Cracker performed here?
Cracker was fine. Cracker's not really a dancer. But she can still. I've seen better from her as well. Like, when she lip synced against Cameron Michaels and was ultimately sent home in season 10, I felt like she beat Cameron Michaels in that lip sync, not only because she was beating her in the competition, but like, I just didn't think that. I think that she like really held her own in that lip sync. So I was like kind of like surprised that this one was sort of like lackluster. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, so this, the choice to bring back Roxy Andrews, I feel like this is like the first time where I can see that it's, I feel like it affected Miss Cracker here. Like, it was like, oh, like, they're all going to want to look at Roxy Andrews anyway because she hasn't been on the stage in a long time. This is like her first reappearance to Drag Race in a few years. So I feel like she probably got in her head and was like, I just feel like she didn't give it her all because of the fact that she was well aware of the fact that the judges, I mean, they literally show Miss Cracker like trying to be funny with the lip syncing thing. But RuPaul is looking at Roxy and Roxy's not even really doing anything but walking sensually. And I'm like, this seems like a big, big circle jerk for Roxy Andrews right now and not like a real lip sync. I feel like this was just like, we want to watch Roxy and that's it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, Miss Thick and Juicy yourself, Beth.
Okay, so y'all, yeah. I will fully admit, I've drank the Roxy Andrews Kool-Aid. I could not stop looking at her. I think here's the main reason why. Roxy does a really good job of taking on the feeling of the song in her face. And so from the get-go, Ms. Cracker started doing everything. And like, she has like really sharp robotic like movements, even like when she's like voguing or, you know, doing a whole bunch of different things. There's always like a da-da-da-da-da-da aspect to it. And this song just isn't that. So like the little feet shuffle that we were watching on the video of the podcast, like that's not One Last Time, Ariana Grande. <Yeah. laughs> but Roxy Andrews was doing that like sensual look and like the little burlesque kind of moves to it or whatever, which also isn't always going to be Ariana Grande. But when you compare it to what Ms. Cracker was doing, yeah, I'm going to watch Roxy. I think I know that Roxy got shat on a lot on both seasons that she was on for very different reasons. I'm a huge Roxy Andrews fan. She to me is like the epitome of drag. She makes everything. She looks incredible. And she's also somebody for a woman like me who's got a little bit more meat on her bones and has some curves. She was the first queen that I watched and felt, because I watched in season 8, which meant season All-Stars 2 was like the second season I ever watched. And I watched Roxy and yeah, I was like, oh, she's not doing great. I was so like more accepting of my own body because I was like, well, if Roxy Andrews can wear something like that and own it and everything, and she's not even like identifying as a woman, then like, why can't I feel like I can wear a pair of shorts, even though I have like cottage cheese legs sometimes and I'm pale and like all those kinds of things. And there was a lot of those kind of reflective moments I've had. So enough of me like making a personal kind of connection about that. But just I felt like Roxy just better, you know, felt the song out than Ms. Cracker.
I think I was bored.
I was bored, but like I felt like in terms of winning, Roxy deserved it over Ms. Cracker.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I just like Roxy's butt. That's all. That's the tweet. Like I can't stop staring at her butt. Yeah, it's amazing.
Can we see it again?
I know, just one more time.
I'm like terrified we're gonna get us pulled off of YouTube for a little bit of butt. So, but
please ask one time.
Yeah, no, just I mean, oh my gosh, just like she's just absolutely so thick and juicy. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Not padded, like just full out looking yeah. Fab.
That is a wonder. That is a wonder.
One of the world's wonders. Yeah. Roxy Andrews, but okay. We have to get to really what is the biggest story, I think, at this hour, which is Alexis is sent home over what seems to be the determination really does seem to be between Alexis and Miss Blair St. Clair. Mm-hmm. And Beth, I don't have words. What do you think? Just tell me.
I think that what this ultimately came down to was the queen's preference and who's left in the competition. And with Alexis being such a question mark of her loyalty and how she, as we get into the very depths of this competition, we don't know what she's going to do. She's a wild card. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of her. I genuinely thought Blair was going to go home. One thing that happened pretty early in the episode that I thought was really bitchy of Cracker was like Cracker being like, I know, Blair, you look so good at family picnics. What? Like in that confession, I was like really taking it back. Like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't even think that was like playful shade. It came off as just being like, just kind of a dick about Blair. But then for me, that kind of set up like, okay, so Blair might not do well, but like there wasn't enough of an edit to support her potentially going home. So like, I figured Alexis was going to go, but I couldn't help but feel bad. And I felt like we saw a lot of genuine emotion out of Alexis about how sad and upset she was. And so, and how she was like, I really don't like that this is, I feel like I was painted in a bad way and how this is potentially weighing on everyone's minds. And I felt like that was pretty genuine, more so than anything that India Her did last week. So I think that that's what it came down to, is they just didn't like Alexis as much as Blair, maybe in the competition sense.
Yeah, Amon, do you co-sign that?
Yeah, this was a good episode for Ms. Cracker. And I think that the cherry on top was her pretending as if she was going to take Shay's lipstick. And she was like, you want me to do it? I know you want me to do it. And I was like, I felt like she was talking directly to me. I was like, yes, I want you to do it. Please do it. Like, I was so hype. I was like, yes, these queens are getting it. Like, we want to see the bloodshed. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like Alexis, like one thing I didn't necessarily like was what Cracker was like, well, you know, I'm not sending Shay home. I'm not sending Juju home. You two, you're in the bottom. I was like, okay, like don't, I mean, can we at least like not make it so obvious? Can we at least like, you guys are like trying to like make this a regular season so bad. Like, just play All-Stars, play the game. But I mean, I felt bad for Alexis because, like I said earlier in the beginning of the episode, I'm starting to feel like, yeah, maybe she probably wasn't lying. I don't think that she told, what's her face? What's her name again?
India.
She didn't tell India to vote for Shay. So I was like, damn, like you're about to go out and you feel like it's like an insurmountable edit that you can't do anything about. Like, you feel like their minds are already made up because the imagery of you being this underhanded queen is already out there, and why wouldn't they get rid of you if they can? And why send Blair home when Blair was making a case for herself to stay, but she was also making a case of herself to lose too, because like she was like, I've been consistent the entire time. I've been just a one-trick pony the whole way through. And it's like, well, yeah, of course I'm gonna want to keep you now because you're not gonna win. So
right.
Yeah, I just feel like Alexis was sort of just like dead in the water. She knew it. She was like, if I don't win this, I'm screwed. Which is why I appreciate the fact that she went all out with that dress and putting that kiddie pool under there, because she was trying to shake the table. It just didn't work out the way that she wanted it to. So
yeah, Christian, but do you think there's any way that Alexis was gonna stay, or was it Alexis going, you think, from the get-go?
I think it was Alexis going from the get-go. But one thing that really frustrated me was Blair's commentary being like, if I wasn't questioning Cracker as a friend before, I am now. And it's like, at this point, you're either going fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Like, hate to break it to you, you're not winning this competition. So whether Cracker sends you home this week or Juju or Shay sends you home next week, like, you can't really hold that against Cracker. And I get you're trying to make one last like emotional plea, but it just seems like kind of desperate and kind of like, I know I'm not going to win, but like, just, we're friends, so take me.
Yeah, it was very desperate because she just kept saying like, when all of the other arguments, but she didn't really have a lot other than that she's been safe. She just kept saying, I just can't go home. I'm like, bitch, yes, you can. It's called getting eliminated. Like, you can definitely
go
home.
You knew what you were signing up for.
And I like that Ms. Cracker said to her face, like, I'm not really worried about the friendships though. Like, I can't, that can't be my primary concern. I was like, yes, like, get in that ass. Like, I loved it. I love that Ms. Cracker is like being impartial and is like being, you know, like, look, like, I want to win. You know what I mean? And Ms. Cracker is, she won twice now? Has she won twice?
Yeah.
Yep.
This is her second one.
And
Shay
has won twice.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. So like, you know, it's down to the wire and it can't be about who loves who anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely felt like I don't know if this is just editing tricks or if it's queens that are just putting they have to come across as like, I'm really great as like a defense mechanism. But like, does Blair not see that she's like not as high as the rest of them in terms of like their wins and such? Like, I don't know. It makes her seem like out of touch with what's happening in the conversation.
Yeah, like the fact that she was tried to in her argument was like, well, I won the very first reading mini challenge.
So like,
yeah.
She was really grasping.
I was
anything.
Like, okay, and like, keep going.
So you won 5 minutes into the competition and have not won anything yet? Okay, work.
No, that's like when you've done Duolingo for like 3 weeks and you're like, yeah, I speak Spanish. And you put it on your resume, okay? Like, Blair, sit down, shut up, like, whatever.
And like, lest we be reminded, it was a tie.
Like, oh my god, yes.
Oh my gosh, I did forget it was a tie. Thank you for bringing that up, Christian.
No. Oh my gosh. Well, next week we'll also have to see how Blair does, because we have a stand-up comedy smackdown challenge where the queens are gonna have to perform some comedy routines or something like that. And yeah, I do have a feeling like this is Miss Blair St. Clair's last stand. We're gonna have to find out next week, because yeah, we're getting down to the final four, and then as we speculated at the beginning of this episode, we don't know what's going on. So we'll be back in your ears next week, or on your YouTube screens, giving you all of our thoughts, feedback, and commentary on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. So for those people who may be tuning out, let's just give our quick social media plugs, and then we'll jump into Canada's Drag Race and then close out things for reals. So first, Christian, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm at _KROBZ, which is Krobs or K-Robs, both on Instagram and Twitter.
Love it. Beth, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at AugustaWind11.
And last but not least, Amon.
You can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin Baby. Well, minus the baby, but, just Amon.
Okay, let's shift gears, talk about our very own tonal shift, and let's talk Canada's Drag Race. Okay, not gonna lie, I am loving Canada's Drag Race so incredibly much. It fills me with so much joy. If you haven't had a chance to watch, WOW Presents Plus is where you can check out the episodes. So they have a free trial going on right now. And then I think it's only like $4 a month or something super cheap. So it's really easy, and you can get a lot of WOW content through WOW Presents Plus. So that is my suggestion. Because, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to begin. Christian, what are you thinking about Canada's Drag Race as a season so far?
I think it's so refreshing, and I like to watch it after I watch All Stars, because it just restores my faith in the direction of Drag Race, because they're just so fun. It seems like they're all genuinely there to have a good time and to possibly win, and just seeing the three judges play off of each other and just be absolute savages. It's just, it's everything that I wanted.
There are so many queens of mine that I am just obsessed with. Like, everyone, I think, is maybe the appropriate. But of course, like, you have queens like Jimbo. Anastasia in this episode tells like an incredibly heart-wrenching story about how she ended up in Canada. Oh my gosh, she's from, where is she from? The Dominican? No, from Barbados or something. I can't remember exactly where her home country is.
I think it was the Bahamas.
Oh, the Bahamas. Yes. Okay. She took a bullet in her kidney. Like, she literally got shot and came to Canada on asylum. Like, we're getting some incredible stories, some incredible queens. And this episode, I thought was really just so much fun.
Yeah, the episode was a lot of fun. I actually, because, you know, sometimes for Drag Race, when they do these, because they did some acting challenges this time around. Sometimes with acting challenges, like, I'm like, this is not funny. Why is everybody laughing? But I was actually entertained by a lot of these queens. And I'm glad that Jeffrey Boyer Chapman was the one to lead it, because I feel like a lot of people just see him as this hot guy and forget that he is an actor. And so like, I was like, okay, so like we're starting to see these queens, or these judges sort of like have like specific parts of the episode where they are going to take the lead, because you have Brooklyn doing the walkthroughs and, you know, doing the mini challenge. And then you have Jeffrey coaching them with the acting. So I was like, okay, so we're finally starting to like, we're trying to understand who these judges are as people as well as judges. So I like this episode a lot. I'm still not quite sure who I'm rooting for yet. And I think that's rather exciting. Because, I mean, obviously there are like some clear like villainous edits going on right now, especially specifically with what's her name, Kine?
Kine, yeah.
But other than that, like, there are a lot of like dynamic personalities on the show. I mean, I think Jimbo was like pretty much the fan favorite at this point. But then you have like these humanizing moments with like Anastasia Azarque, where she's telling us this crazy story about, you know, literally like walking to the hospital after being shot, right? And so it's just, there's so much to see here, and we got to see a little bit more of one of the black queens, light skinned black queen with the glasses, the younger one.
Kiara?
What's her name? No, Kiara, there it is.
Oh yeah, Kiara.
Mm-hmm. And we found, because I was saying that she was kind of like absent in the first episode, but we get to see like a little bit more of, like, she's a little bit of a shady girl. So like I was like, this is there's a lot going on, and I'm very, very excited for it.
I love her. I love her so much. Same. She was in the confessional with one of the balls that came out of Kine's outfit from last week.
Exactly.
Being shady as shit. Like, oh my God, you're so sassy. I love you. Christian, is there anybody in particular standing out for you that you're rooting for?
I really like Jimbo, of course. When Jimbo came on the runway, I was like, am I watching Dragula or Drag Race? Like, and yeah. I was just so content about like seeing those two worlds collide. I also really like Priyanka. Her mini challenge performance was so funny. And then the acting challenge was also just, she was good in character the whole time.
Yeah, I think for me, I have like, this is my current, now we all know ranking is arbitrary and reductive, but my current ranking is Priyanka, Jimbo, Lemon, Rita, no, Kiara, then Rita, then Scarlett are like my current top queens that I'm loving right now. But it's like inches divide them. Like there's just centimeters divide them. Like there's just so many things that that I'm living for. But this main challenge, Amon, was the heritage moments. So based on the heritage minutes, which I watched a ton in preparation for. So I did learn a lot about Canadian history. So thank you to those of you who reached out to share some examples with us. That was very useful because we get the I smell burnt tucks, which is based off of the Wilder Penfield neurosurgeon extraordinaire of Canada heritage minute. And then the Muffragettes, which is based on the Nellie McClung with getting the vote in Manitoba, which these were weird. They're not what I expected. I still kind of had fun, though. They were really bizarre, though, Mon.
Yeah, they were very bizarre, but like I said, like I still feel like I was able to sort of, you know, understand as it's going. So this show is sort of like becoming educational as well as being an entertaining drag competition. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, Christian, were there any standouts or anything that you of note from the main challenges?
I mean, maybe this is a hot take, but I didn't find Lemon to be like particularly engaging or like great. I was very surprised when she ended up being the winner for the week, and I like in my head I was like, maybe we're just going off the runway, we're waiting that more. But I thought Kiara was really robbed in that acting challenge.
Yeah, I thought Kiara was definitely fun. I could see where they were going for with Lemon. I think she was just somebody who, even though sometimes it didn't necessarily make sense, she was just super animated. And I kind of feel like that animation and excitement really just sort of translated off the screen. I don't know if part of it also was because she was up next to Tainomi in the performance, and Tainomi ends up, you know, being eligible for elimination and ends up lip syncing. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure like what the deal is with there, but I thought there were a number of queens that potentially could have won. Like, I mean, you know, Jimbo. Avi being in the top, I thought was so fun. Just, this was just enjoyable. And I think to Amon's point about Jeffrey Boyer Chapman leading everything, it argues why you could have multiple judges. Like, yes, we have Michelle or Carson or Ross that come in to do these types of things, but it was nice to have someone who that's their job. That's what they do. Really be responsible for guiding the queens through the acting challenge. And I really appreciated that. Okay. Do you guys have any other thoughts about Canada's Drag Race?
I think my only like one other big thought is like all the lights are on, but nobody is home in Boa's head. Like she watching her be like one, just mixing up Alona's name and then being like, I picked her. I had to pick her when she did not pick her at all. And then just watching her try to remember her lines. I can't imagine her going very far in this competition.
Watching her remember her lines was just like, says the line, and then like the robot that just like shuts down, waiting for the next time she has to says her line, and then she like boots back up, like, okay, I'm gonna say my line now, and then just like boot down. I mean, you know, it's hard. Like she talks about her struggles and how like when she's looking at the page, it just all turns into jumbles. But then you add on top the other things that you mentioned, Christian, like with the Alana or whatever, how she kept saying her name. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how far Boa goes. The only other main thing that I have to talk about really is Scarlett Bobo swallowing fire on the runway. My God.
I did see that. That was crazy.
That was insane. And then lastly, Kain can go. So the whole moment, like right when she's about to be eliminated, when she literally turns to Tainomi and she says, I'm about to go home. This is my moment. Girl. No. Yeah. Just stop.
Oh, girl.
She's the kind of person who, like, I was trying to explain this, like, Jujubee has what Kain wants, and that Jujubee can make these like rude remarks, like when she was like, I hate this challenge, and the judges think it's funny because they have this like built relationship with her and they get her humor, whereas like Kain is just saying all these rude and absurd things and we have no frame of reference for who she is, so we're like, like, who are you, Miss Thang? Like, you've been on TV for 2 episodes. Calm it down.
You're just rude. Like, it's not rude. So I don't know. And maybe because she has a bunch of YouTube stuff. So maybe she feels like, oh, like I have this audience. They know that I'm like that. So the audience at home is going to get it. Well, it's like, well, girl, this is a different setting. Like, we're not going to get it. Yeah. Right. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe she'll end up being one of the most loved contestants after the season. Who knows? But that sort of wraps up generally all of our thoughts on Canada's Drag Race episode 2, which I am looking forward. I have decided the panel is more than welcome to join me. I will be continuing doing coverage of Canada's Drag Race because 2 episodes in, I'm still in love and I want to know what happened. So once All Stars wraps up, I think probably what we'll do is we'll continue on doing Canada's Drag Race coverage for however long that ends up being. Because, you know, we did the maths today and we only have a couple more episodes of All Stars left, we think. But we shall see. Okay. Let's officially wrap everything up and get out of here. Christian, again, thank you so much for being here. This was so fun to have you. And we didn't plan it this way, but we got you on the RuPaul therapy episode. We were able to utilize your expertise. So thanks again for coming on. And where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. So again, you can just find me at @_KRobz. So KROBZ, both on Instagram and Twitter.
And Amon Adwin, what about you? Where can people find you? What are you up to?
You can find me at Amon Adwin on Twitter. Any geeks out there, I still have my podcast, The Choir Room, with Matt Lagori. So check that out if it so interests you.
And Beth, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at AugustaWind11. I'm also continuing to work on My Weekly Meltdown on Wednesdays, where we are discussing Big Brother 10, and we're coming down to the final stretches. So I'm excited to see what happens this week.
And of course, you can find me on Twitter at @LianaRHAP. We are currently covering Survivor, doing our Survivor rewatch with the RHAP BNB. And this week we are doing Cagayan, the Merge episode, which is so fun and even more fun than I remember. And we have our very own Jordan Kalish on. So he gives us a quiz. We play some very bizarre games. We talk about Disney princesses. If you're interested, check that out. And we also want to take this as a time to stop down and hand the mic over, use our platform for good, and plug a charity this week. So the charity that I'm going to be donating to, and I encourage all of y'all to donate to, is the Brennan Center for Justice. So the Brennan Center for Justice is a nonpartisan law and policy institute. They advocate for a number of progressive policies, including like campaign reform, redistricting, against gerrymandering, public finance, all of those types of things. But one of the things that they're really working on, especially with the upcoming election, is voter rights, the ability to vote and having Everyone vote is so incredibly important. And so if you're interested in supporting this cause, you can check out the Brennan Center for Justice and visit them online. And that's where you can donate at thebrennancenter.org or just Brennan Center, not the just like Amon Adwin baby, just Amon Adwin. This is just brennancenter.org. So definitely check that out. If you have not become a patron of RHAP, I highly encourage you to do it. We've been expanding some of the stuff that we're doing in the patron Facebook group. We've just started playing some patron mafia, some social strategy games. Rob plays along, so you can have an opportunity to play with Rob. If that's something you'd like to do, check out. Rob has a podcast on patreon.com. Of course, for us, leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And I think that's all for us. So we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.